I'd like to read with you Psalm number 65 and draw out, Lord willing, a few nuggets for our reflection for ahead of our time of prayer, things that we can be thinking about and we can to help us really have the right thinking about who God is, some his love towards us for our time of prayer, and then we can take requests. So I'll read through the psalm first, Psalm 65. This is a psalm written by David. And in verse 1 it says, "Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy." Amen. So this psalm, again, written by David, is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's meant to be, or it was sung in the context of a fruitful harvest, as you can see as we read in the last several verses, 9 through 13, namely. We'll get back to that. But it's a song of thanksgiving, and there's praise to God through that, in that specific context of there being an abundant supply of in the harvest. And so, you can think about that in terms of a broad provision from God. It's just kind of a broad application, but that's kind of the context for the psalm. So you see a lot of things that are said about God here at the beginning. First, that praise is due the Lord, or that he is deserving of praise. Almost this idea that he is, not that we can repay him for what he's done for us, but that he is always owed praise. He's always at any moment deserving of our praise and a thankful heart for all that he provides. And we see here, David the psalmist says, "You who hear prayer." That's what we're here to do at this time, is pray. And we can rest assured that God hears our prayer. As David writes many times in the Psalms, he hears. "Incline your ear to me," we see him asking God. And he says, "To you shall all flesh come." Now in verse 3 and 4 are really amazing. There's the Gospels wrapped up in these verses, or in verse 3 really. He says, "When iniquities prevail against me," or iniquities overcome me, overwhelm me, they're winning. He says, "You atone for our transgressions." And I just thought that's really a picture of the gospel, is we are helpless. And in this first verse, this first part of the verse is helpless on the occasion that we are losing. There's too many iniquities. That's what we're coming to God with. He atones for our transgression. And in the following verse, it says, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. So you see kind of a helpless state, which is where we are apart from God. And you see our hope is that God will atone for our transgressions. And notice it says, he atones for our transgressions. It's kind of proven by the fact that he brings us near. It doesn't say we choose him. It says, blessed is the one, happy is the one that God chooses. And God draws him near. He doesn't just draw him near to look from the showcase and look in and get to see what's happening and brings him out scraps of food. He draws him in to dwell in the courts of God, to be satisfied. You can see in the following part of the verse, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. So one thing that can keep you from praying freely to God is, and it's common to struggle with this, but is your own sense of inadequacy due to sin or, falling into the same old things. And that can keep you from, freely coming before the throne of grace. And we see here that the psalmist just confesses that when his iniquities prevail and sort of overwhelm and win against him, it's God that takes the action. It's God's work that atones for our transgression. He's the one who pulls us in, draws us near to him. The only way we can draw near to God is if he first draws us to him. And you see that in here. And we see that he doesn't, again, he draws us to a place of dwelling, which is different than just visiting or being there. Think of last weekend, Josh and Lauren actually invited us, and we went and had a little 4th of July celebration with them. And it was a great time. And, it was kind of the first event in their new house that we'd been a part of. And we went there and got to talking, and Josh cooked for us. And we had such a good time that when we looked up, we had gotten there at about 1. We looked up, it was like 6:30. And we had gone clean through supper time. I'm like, we better get out of here. But it reminded me of, it's like they invited us to dwell and abide with them for a while, And what would that have looked like if we were just visiting? It would have just been, you're cooking, cool, I'll take a burger to go, or, we'll sit for a minute. I don't want to take up too much of your stuff. I'm not worthy, to be here. That's what that would have looked like. But no, they invited us to dwell and be with them. And so it was just a natural thing. We were just doing those things, and we looked up, and it was a lot of time spent. So kind of that idea of, we're not just going to – God doesn't just draw us near to, like, be, second-class citizens. He atones for our sin. He puts them out of his sight. We have them in our sight, and we struggle with them, and we maybe are inhibited from praying as we should because of them sometimes. But God, all the while, is putting them completely out of his sight. He doesn't want to hear about them anymore because he's atoned for them. And so that's proven by, we get to be there and be satisfied with the goodness of the house of the Lord and the holiness of his temple. So we get to be in that holiness, around that holiness. So he makes us worthy to be with him through Christ, through atoning for our sins. And then in verse 5, I love this. It says, by awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. And so there's another takeaway for our time of prayer. I was thinking about this verse, and it says, O God of our salvation. This verse, and when you think of folks who have given testimony of what God, here's how God answered our prayer. And you can't really think of a time, or at least I can't, when someone casually comes up to you and says, yeah, God answered the prayer, and just plainly tells you Yeah, he answered it. So anyway, it's going to work out. It's always like it actually worked out. You wouldn't believe it. I thought this was going to be a disaster. And I didn't see the whole picture, and it worked out. Like, God really was awesome in the way he did this. I could have never imagined it. That's usually what comes to mind when I think of God answering prayer. And I think a lot of us can testify to that. Awesome deeds he does. He works for his people, and he works, answers us with righteousness. So he answers us in a way that is right. So when he does good to us, because he has atoned for our sins, he's perfectly right in answering us with awesome deeds. He's not wrong in doing good to us, because we are drawn in to him because of his work. He's in no danger of doing wrong and not being God, because he's treating sinners with goodness, because he's forgiven us. So, O God of our salvation, then he says, the hope of the ends of the earth, all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas. And think about that, whether, sinners who are not the Lord, who have not been forgiven, whether they know it or not, God is their only hope. Think about how scary that is, that you just have, either you have no knowledge of it, or you've repressed the knowledge of your only hope of the ends of the earth, no matter where you are. This is the single only hope you have. There's no other shot. There's no plan B to have any hope in life. And, that's why the gospel must be preached. But you think about that. He's still, whether they know it or not, the hopes of the ends of the earth, always. And then it goes in and says, starts to stack these amazing things about God in creation. The one who by his strength established mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. And I thought about some of the videos of waves that I saw. I think it might have been for Hurricane Ida in the Gulf, as it was approaching from some oil rigs recording these waves. And I can't imagine a more terrifying thing. It's one of, you think of like a loud thunderclap, some of these things in nature that can terrify you. And that is one of them, if you've seen this video. And I just looked it up. For Katrina, I was reading that they had waves that were in the eye of the storm at certain times that were over 50 feet tall. And that was like recorded. And then there was statistical evidence, encouraging evidence, that some of the waves may have been 30 meters, close to 100 feet tall for Katrina. And you can't imagine this. I mean, you could go downtown and see our little skyscrapers that we have here downtown. I mean, some of those, a few stories, 10 feet is a story, basically. So 10-story building of waves that God controls, right? And he orders them to be there, and he can calm them in a moment, as we know he did. So he's still in control of those. It's just amazing. He established the mountains, being girded with might, and the tumult of the peoples. We see nations raging, like in Psalm 2. He can calm those nations and change those nations and move people just as easily as he calms the storms and the waves. So that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth with water and water it. You greatly enrich it. We just had a couple weeks where it was pretty dry before, maybe 2 weeks ago, and the whole front of my yard was dying. It was like really spreading quickly. And just, you think about that. God just withholds rain for a little while. We're in trouble. Just so many little tiny things that he does day to day that unbelievers blow off, yes. And sometimes we blow them off too. We don't think about them. We don't thank God for them, but he's always there sustaining, being good to all. And we're so dependent on his goodness. So it says, the river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. So you, God causes food to be available, growth to happen. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. And I thought of, we planted some plants in the front flower bed recently and had two that were in kind of a sunny spot, but they're supposed to be able to handle a good bit of sun. One of them, I think, was more exposed, and I watered it every day, and it eventually died. And I was like, well, okay, maybe that was in the wrong spot. But I was out there watering it faithfully, and then we went and walked the other day, and we saw this, what was it, like a lily or something? A wild lily and a ton of weeds around it. Just, what was it, like that high and blooming in the midst of a bunch of weeds. And it's like, okay, God's agricultural ability versus me. And it's pretty staggering, but you think about it, it's like God has to cause all these things to happen, or it doesn't happen. Well, it's a good picture. So he softens, settles the ridges, softening them with showers and blessing their growth. It says in verse 11, you crown the year with bounty, your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow, the hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. So this idea of God clothing the hills beautifully with abundance. And so that's the point of this psalm, again, is thankfulness to God and a fruitful harvest. But it's a beautiful picture in verses 9 through 13 of how God rules over nature, and he's the one who causes increase. And we can apply that, I think, to God providing to us broadly. I think we can apply it to God's provision in anything, really. I mean, this is kind of like the category of sustenance and food, and we're going to survive that. But this is also true for spiritual provision and dealing with sin. God's always going to provide for us. But lots to take away from and think about in our time of prayer, for sure. God is our provider. Praise is due him. He's always deserving of praise. Your iniquities, if you are a Christian, cannot keep you from the love of God. And they can't keep you. They will not prevail and condemn you. They may prevail over you and overwhelm you. But if you cast your sin upon God and Christ has paid for them, then he has atoned for your transgression, and you can dwell with God. You can come boldly before him this morning and be satisfied with goodness and be with a holy God and dwell with him. So it's really encouraged by this, reading through it. And so, amen. Do we have anything in light of that, that we want to bring before the Lord, since we can freely come before him? And on Zoom, you can always chat or speak up, but feel free to do that. Thing we can pray about right now.
We have several friends that have COVID right now. I just pray especially for sweet sister named Liz. She's her oxygen level to go up. She had to go to the hospital.
Okay.
And some down the bayou. Where you're from.
Okay. The who are sick? Oh, no. I hadn't heard about that. Okay. Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Man, I didn't realize that. Yeah, we'll pray for them.
Who was that?
The birds. Yeah. Anyone else?
Betty Michael.
Yes.
They're home.
I heard that, yeah. Sophia and my baby Michael. So they're home, right? And I think was there any other updates?
He just keeps baffling the doctors. He definitely has leukemia, and it is in the bone marrow. It's just one of those where they just don't. Everything else is fine.
Yeah.
It's white, but the cells are good. That's what's great.
Can pray that he keeps baffling the doctors.
Yeah. And we're talking like world experts.
Wow.
They haven't seen a baby born. This kind of, we're still trying to decide what kind of.
Wow. That's something. We'll keep them in prayer. Anyone else?
Merle, please, pray as far as I know. Seven days. As long as she did.
Yeah. And I guess you can remember Dustin and Samantha as well. Okay. Well, why don't we go to the Lord in prayer about these things and can pray as you feel led. I can open us, and Josh, would you mind closing us today? Thank you. Dear Lord, we come before you again, and we're thankful, Lord, that you have drawn us near, Lord, that you sought us out when we weren't looking for you, Lord, and you have shown how good you are, Lord, and that we have been discovering, Lord, more and more truth about how good you are, Lord, since you drew us near, Father. Lord, all we can do is praise you for that. Exalt you, Lord. We're humbled by it, all the grace you've shown us, Lord, so freely. So, Lord, we come before you with needs, Lord, that were mentioned this morning, Lord, and there's those that are on hearts that were not mentioned, Father. And Lord, we lift those up to you, knowing that you do hear us, as the psalmist said in the psalm, that you hear us, that you answer us with awesome deeds. Lord, we pray that you would do that for these situations, Lord, those who are sick, the birds, Lord, others who are sick, Lord, that you would sustain, Lord, that you would heal, and that those things would be, Lord, all that you do is glorifying to you, Lord, but that we would see it and that your people would praise you. We pray. And Lord, we pray for Miss Merle, Lord, in that situation, Lord, that you would make yourself very present, Lord, that you would be near to the brokenhearted. Lord, that you would give a lot of grace there, Lord, same with the situation with Dustin and Samantha, Lord, we lift them up to you. And the situation with baby Michael, we lift him up to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would show your mighty deeds, Lord, your awesome deeds, and be faithful to this family, Lord, in this situation, Lord, that they can come out of this praising you all the more. Lord, we lift up our time to you. We ask that you would lead us and you would go before us, Father, that we would be doing the things we do, Lord, led by you, Father, that our praise would be, our time of singing would be an overflow of how much we love you, Lord, that we just couldn't help but sing, Lord, and that our fellowship would be pure and sweet, Lord, and not, Lord, that would be Holy Spirit filled, Lord. We pray that your spirit would be upon the preaching, Lord, and the hearing today. Ask for your help, Lord, and we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Father, I too want to praise thee for all that you do on our behalf, for your righteous character, Father, always consistent, always doing what is good, what is perfect, and always things you do on our behalf, Father, are good for us, your people. We thank you for that. We're reminded as these examples were given this morning of even the small things that we forget to notice, or you do even if they're not noticed by us, because it's who you are. It's your goodness and kindness and your perfect love that is part of your character. And we thank you for that loving, consistent character that when we're not consistent and faithful, you are, Lord. We thank you for that, Father. You continue to provide for us. Even as the psalmist says, when we're consumed by our iniquities, Lord, each one of us, those times when sin overtakes us, doubt overtakes us, rebellion overtakes us, Lord, that you are not overtaken by such sin, even by our sins that are against you, Lord, those whom you've called and loved and chosen, you are consistent. Just as the sun is consistent to come up in the morning, you are consistent to shower us with your love and your continued forgiveness, Lord. What a blessing it is to be found in your house, to be counted as among you that you have sent your beloved to die for. We thank you this morning, Father, for these privileges and these things that each one of us can lift up, these burdens, these prayers, these concerns. If we would not have hope in the one who causes those great waves to form and also control them, then we would be without hope, Father. But knowing your sovereignty, knowing your consistent righteousness and goodness, knowing that you do all things for your glory and for your people, we rest in that. We draw comfort and peace in that. And Lord, as we lift up those that we're burdened for, who are hurting, whether through COVID or these diseases that have come upon this small baby, we know that you are sovereign and in control of it all. And with a spoken word, Father, you can heal us. You can heal this child. You can heal those suffering with COVID. Father, you can do even a greater work than these physical things, and you can bring spiritual life. And that's the ultimate prayer that we pray for those, Lord, that you would grant spiritual life, that you would grant a rebirth into the hearts of our loved ones who do not know you, to our neighbors and friends and co-workers, and through this simple gospel message, Father, that life would be breathed in them so that they can see this hope, which we now attest to this morning. Oh, Father, we trust you this morning. We praise you this morning, Lord. I think of how sometimes it pleases you to answer prayers beyond with exactly how we would ask of you. I think of Myra, our brother Jeff's wife, Lord, how the doctor's report was exceedingly better than he had thought, Lord, concerning his wife. We thank you for those times when you do exceedingly above our expectations. And we thank you for those times when you test our faith. Thank you for this time of prayer this morning, Lord. We thank you for your psalms, your words, consistent revelation of your character to us that causes us to be more in love with you. We pray that it would do so, that it would cause us to run to you in time of joy and in time of need, the same enthusiasm, knowing that you're the same God in both our plenty and in our need. As Paul says, the contentment that he learned came from that, Lord. Contentment of having lots or having little came in not in the circumstances, but it came in knowing you. We thank you for that contentment, Father, that is found in knowing you. We ask that you would reveal a little bit more of yourself to us today, Father. We might throw aside these encumbrances and these doubts and these fears of all these crazy things going on around us. And that we might bask in the love of God. Bask in your goodness for us. Bask in what has been promised to us. Rejoice in our eternal hope. In Jesus' name.
Would I come before you just echoing prayers of my brothers, Lord? Thanking you so much that we have the opportunity. Dear children, be in relationship with you. No longer be enemies with you. You have chosen us in Christ and you have appealed to us truth and life. Thank you so much for the testimony of the saints, Lord. Even right now, we have saints that are testifying of your glory, Lord. Bearing eternal love and eternal hope, creation, and all of us. Bearing your glory, Lord. Lift up Samantha right now, Lord, we pray that you give her words of life. Set her mind on eternity, Lord, that she would have the grace to share with her father as he's very ill and hearing the point of name. So, this time here on earth coming to an end. Pray, Lord, that you'd be able to tell him about eternal life. Tell him about eternal God that created reason for that creation. Pray for brokenness and pray for salvation situation. Thank you so much to your sister that's entering into that in person. And now we're having that opportunity where we just lift her up. I pray that your spirit will minister. Lift up this little old baby Michael, Lord. Thank you so much for the testimony and the encouragement that even as little as he is, as little as, well, as short a time as he's been on this earth, Lord, put a testimony as to us as your children. Praise you for his parents that they have a strong, steady foundation of faith. Praise you for their testimony. They seek to give you glory even in different circumstances, trying times, Lord. Pray, Lord, that all of us as saints would take that to heart, Lord, that we would take encouragement. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together, have this freedom, have this calling the Lord that we also have this desire to gather together with sisters in Christ, Lord, study your words, to worship, to encourage one another days ahead. Pray that everything that is done and said and thought here will be sanctified and holy and glorifying unto you. Come to your presence with thanksgiving. First, Lord, we would have praise on our lips. Pray to listen to your spirit. Your spirit convicts us, empowers us, encourages us, and strengthens us. But I pray that all the burdens that are in our hearts, Lord, will not overshadow, not in any way diminish, or deflect our attention. Pray that today would be a day of encouragement, today would be a day of hope, a day of rest, relationship that we have with you. Maybe this time, maybe this entire service, we pray a special blessing over Mr. Mark, also, spirit of minister, conviction, encouragement, us as the saints, study your word. Precious name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.